Dave Clark 5 over and over, 7 o'clock at WRJN. A survey found half of Americans think they're finally going to get in shape. Someday, just not today. The survey looked at the top things that make us realize how out of shape we are. They included feeling winded, trying on clothes that don't fit anymore. And how about this one? Somebody says your shoelaces are untied and you can't see your shoelaces. It's 7 o'clock on the nose.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump has big plans for the Middle East.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
And develop it, he says, into a luxury resort area.
I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy, but the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
Mr. Trump made his remarks during a news conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. Aaron David Miller is a former Middle East negotiator for the State Department.
He's going to basically declare Gaza to be an area of American influence. Why wouldn't President Xi or Putin revel in that fact with respect to their territorial ambition?
I'm Cammie McCormick. This man in Gaza's Khan Yunis says he's not leaving and the people there shouldn't be kicked out under the pretext of rebuilding. A Hamas official says Trump's statements only add fuel to the fire. A member of Jordan's parliament said it would be a violation of international law. Jordan is a key ally in the region.
CBS News has learned the FBI met yesterday's deadline to turn over a list of thousands of employees who helped investigate the January 6th attack at the bequest of the Trump administration. Some have gone to court. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
In a pair of lawsuits, FBI agents and employees who remain anonymous argue that this list is a violation of privacy, of due rights, and a security threat.
President Trump is expected to sign an executive order this afternoon to prevent trans people who were biologically male at birth from participating in girls' and women's sporting events in school. In California, officials at Children's Hospital Los Angeles say they need more time to assess Mr. Trump's order from last week targeting gender-affirming care for young people. For now, they're pausing initiation of hormonal therapy for patients under the age of 19. An investigation's underway into a mass shooting at a warehouse in New Albany, Ohio last night, owned by a company that makes cosmetics and toiletries. Police Chief Greg Jones.
At this point, we have one confirmed fatality. We have five that were transported to the hospital.
Police believe it was a targeted attack. The chief says they've identified a suspect but haven't made an arrest. To make waffles, you need eggs. With prices soaring, Waffle House will charge patrons a 50-cent surcharge per egg. Diana Hunter eats at a location in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I've heard the explanation for what's going on. You know, the bird flu. It's going to hit us all. It's hitting the restaurant owner, and it's going to hit the customer that's got to eat there.
S&P futures down 28. This is CBS News.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best eggs. They're just so delicious, with better nutrition, too. For us, it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Burlington police have identified the 21-year-old Menards employee who died after being pinned between cars Sunday night. The family of Cody A. Dorn described him as a dedicated and kind-hearted individual. An investigation continues into what happened. A 20-year-old co-worker involved is assisting police. Charges aren't expected at this point. Gas is the reason for a gathering in Racine County today. We Energies wants to build a natural gas plant in Paris in Kenosha County. Before they build, the Public Service Commission is hosting public hearings at the Union Grove Village Hall to discuss the proposal. The plan calls for a 128-megawatt methane gas-fired power plant. The hearings, scheduled at 2 and 6 today, will allow people to voice their opinions on the $300 million project. Environmental groups have criticized the proposal for its potential environmental impacts. Keep checking RacineCountyEye.com for an update on a safety story. They're working on a piece about police in Racine who've been without a contract for 5 years. The president of the state's police union spoke to the Racine Common Council last night. That's the latest through the eye. Some Racine feedback would be welcomed. A new survey has been launched by the Racine Area Manufacturers and Commerce and Leadership Racine. The aim is to measure the economic and cultural impact of arts in Racine County. The goal is to bolster creative opportunities in the area. People can find a link to the 5-minute survey on the Racine County social media page. It'll be open through mid-April. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Marquette with another loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 11th-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles losing to St. John's 70-64 at Madison Square Garden. It's the first time the Red Storm have beat a top 15th-ranked team in 34 years. Head coach Shaka Smart after the loss.
You know, we get in these Big East wars, and there's a level of experience that you gain from wins, and there's experience that you gain from losses. Unfortunately, you need both.
The Badgers with a win at home over Indiana, 76-64. Wisconsin finding a way to slow down Hoosier center Umar Ballo, Max Klesmet.
That was part of the game plan was Ballo. The last five games have been averaging about 36, 37 minutes. So we knew a way to kind of tap into his legs was playing at a faster clip. I think the guys did a good job preparing for this one.
And we've learned Wisconsin is losing their player personnel director to another team in the Big Ten. Max Steiner, who came to Wisconsin with Luke Fickell, is the new executive director for personnel for the USC Trojans. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy today with some light snow and freezing drizzle this afternoon into this evening. Could be a slippery commute this afternoon through this evening. Our high today right around 31. Tonight, freezing drizzle 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, windy, and warmer with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Another thing, my parents, I grew up broke. We grew up broke. We weren't poor, but we were broke. We were broke. And my parents always told me, well, you know, you come from adversity. That means you're going to excel and so forth and so on. And I'm watching the kids of today. Kids are different than when I was growing up. You ever see these kids go roller skating now? You ever see them go roller skating? They got on knee pads, elbow pads, a helmet, a brake on their skates. Ladies and gentlemen, when I went skating, we had steel skates with iron wheels. The skates weighed 150 pounds each. You didn't have no brake. If you wanted to slow down, you skated on grass. That's how you slowed down. If you wanted to stop, you had to head towards a tree. That was your brake right there, a tree. After a night of skating, you came in the house, you had lacerations, contusions, but you had fun. That's what it's all about, having fun. And I grew up, we had six of us, three boys, three girls, you know what I'm saying? My parents, I think, bought us maybe one pair of skates. So I wanted to go skating. I had the right foot, my brother had the left foot. We had to skate and walk at the same time. It took us 8 hours to skate two blocks. That's ridiculous.
Good morning. It's 7:08 on your, what is it, Wednesday morning, February 5th. Got to keep track of this stuff. Melissa Caprillion is here. Now, I wrote this down. You're the alder for the 5th District. That's the city of Racine alder for the 5th District. And you're the county board supervisor for District number 4.
You got it right.
Because I wrote it down.
You wrote it down this time, but I'm telling you, you were doing a lot better in the past.
No, so. I wasn't. I can't remember things.
But you did good. Thank you for that.
Well, you got numbers, and they're so close. And then I say 4th District, but I know David Mack is the 4th District. Then I say 5th. I don't know. Anyway, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Before we get started with anything here, how are the boys from Spain and Belgium doing?
Yeah, the Belgium boy is doing phenomenal. It sounds so weird. His Dimitri is his name, and he finally gets a tennis racket in his hand. He is a tennis player, but he's just finished up his wrestling season with the high school, and now he is volunteering and doing some teaching at one of the local tennis clubs. So he's doing fantastic. The Spaniard, I will tell you, he is back in Spain. So,
oh, he went back home?
Yeah, that was last year. He did go back home. There are lots of things, moving parts with his family, so he wanted to get closer. But he stayed here for 6 months, so we got to enjoy and absorb his culture while here.
Well, he's a nice guy. He was in here. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah. He had a extra flavor, I think, for life. There was something a little beyond exotic about him, but he kind of... It was intriguing. You saw him, you know. Yeah. He came here. He's got tattoos on his neck. And when he came, he had some piercings on his lips. And although he lost those piercings while here eating or wrestling or something like that. But
eating? So, it was just swallowed them.
No. He had to take it out of his lip while he ate. But he was just visually, there was a visual interest, you know, when looking at him. And you could tell he was just a little more exotic and... we got to enjoy him for 6 months and now he's back. But we have until June with Dimitri.
So the real truth is he got sick of you and he wanted to go back home.
Could it have been vice versa? No, I'm just kidding. No.
Are you going to get more exchange students? Or
maybe. The program has already asked me, sent me a message about a week ago and asked if I would consider it. It's hard to find host families. So those who are listening, if you're thinking about it, please reach out. I'm happy to talk about how the experience is.
Now, if I had a student in my house, can I have him mow the lawn every week? Can I have him rake the lawn? Can I have him clear the snow?
I see this theme, but yes, Don, you actually can. And usually, I'm telling you, they are so willing.
I want to hire a handyman, though.
That's one way to do it.
Do the shopping, bring in the groceries. But you want to learn the American way, and that's the way to do it. Mow the lawn, shovel the snow, and all that kind of stuff.
There is a lot of graciousness I think they give because you are opening up their home. You're not getting paid for it. So usually when, you know, people with kind hearts and are coming to be in a space to experience something, they want to be able to give back. So Dimitri is quite helpful. And we haven't had enough snow to get him out there and shovel snow. So I want the snow to come.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, but I really do. I want him to be able to experience what I remember as a Wisconsin
winter.
Put him
in a meat locker at a butcher shop.
He'll
get the same experience.
Don, we don't have the snow that's 6 feet high where we could jump off.
All right, now I'm going to show you something because you said something like that. Okay. And the other day, I get these memory things on my phone. Now, this is going to didn't play well on radio, but this is when we had the... let me blow it up for you so you can see a little bit here. This is leading to my back gate.
Oh, goodness. So he is showing just foots. Feet. Okay. Help me out this morning. Yeah. So there is feet of snow, and I can see two mailboxes had to shovel around. And the mailboxes
no,
are
No, I
high.
Didn't shovel it. My wife shoveled it. I was here at work. I didn't tell her to do
gosh,
it.
She is amazing.
No, I was amazing. It took me 3 hours to get to work that morning, and it normally takes me 10 minutes. I was amazing.
The point of amazingness. Yeah, but wow, that is a lot of snow. That door would not even be able to open. I remember those. See, that's where my memory's at. I want to be able to have Dimitri experience that.
Yeah, this is, you don't want to experience that. That's like saying, I'm going to Florida. I want to experience a hurricane. Can I? I want to.
No, but there's something about the memory of snow in your childhood. I know as an adult, it's a responsibility and it.
I'm going to Hawaii.
Figure out how to navigate it.
I want to experience a lava flow coming right through my room.
You know, people do go to Hawaii and places to visit the volcanoes.
I was on a volcano. They ask you to put your hand, if you want to, to wave your hand in front of this thing. And that's the hot air coming up from the volcano. Wow. It is hot. You got to do it fast. And if you go a little slow, you'll burn your hand. That stuff is hot. I mean, it's coming up from, you know, liquid rock. How hot? It's got to be hot.
Quite the adventure. And not to say I have a risk, you know, seeking a bone in my body. But there is something that to experience certain part of nature that you're not accustomed to. There is a draw and a curiosity to that.
Okay, we're going to hold up the Jonathan Delagrave till after the break. But you're going to a ribbon cutting ceremony this morning.
I am.
Hey, why don't you talk about it? Tell us now. You're going to your ribbon cutting ceremony at 10:30 this morning?
At 10:30, yeah. It's at the Youth Development Care Center, which is now named after Jonathan. So it's the Jonathan Delagrave Youth Development Care Center. So there'll be a ribbon cutting ceremony. The doors are not quite open for the youth to come in yet, but it will be soon.
And for people who don't remember or don't know, Jonathan Delagrave was our county board. He was the head of the county board.
County executive.
County executive. And suddenly died. I'm from out of nowhere. Nobody saw this coming.
Sad.
And just a few days beforehand, I saw him at Pritchard Park. Right there on, is it Pritchard Park on Ohio Street?
It is. Yeah. It's the Coney Park.
Yeah. I saw him there. I was talking to him and I said, I got to get you on the radio. He goes, well, let's do it. I said, well, I called your folks and, you know, it's not. He said, no, you call me. We'll make it work. And 3 days later.
He definitely would have. And he was very busy. He really was committed to a lot of things that were happening in Racine County. So it's one of those things, you know, sometimes you think back on certain elected officials, it stirs up a certain emotion. But that one, when you think of Jonathan Delagrave, he was very dedicated and put a lot of his heart. So you feel his heart. And so rightfully, this youth center is being named after him. I can think of many things that we're have coming in the pipelines for Racine County that his name would be very well suited to be on there because he was so dedicated. We have a mental health center that's being built. And that was one thing I remember through his platforms early on, that he really was dedicated to bringing services to those experiencing mental health issues.
Melissa Caprillion is here. She is the alder in the city of Racine for the 5th District and also the county board supervisor for the 4th District. More with Melissa coming up in just a moment. We've got a chance of snow in our forecast today with a high near 30. Freezing rain tonight, lows 28. Becoming sunny with a high near, I can't say it, 40 tomorrow. There it goes. I got it out of my mouth. Currently cloudy, 25 degrees here at Radio Park at 716. Here's Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new reboot is on the way, which is not a surprise as Hollywood seems determined to remake everything it's ever done. This time, it's a new iteration of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Star of the original, Sarah Michelle Gellar, will be part of the cast, but not the central focus. This is the second attempt at a reboot. One in 2018 did not quite make it to the little screen. When and if the show drops, it will premiere on Hulu. During a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, actress Nicole Kidman told the host about her favorite keepsake, the handwritten lyrics to Elton John's famous song, Your Song. Kidman was one of the stars of Moulin Rouge, in which the song was featured and sang by Ewan McGregor. Your Song has been covered many times over the years. Great tune. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hospice Alliance's care team includes trained volunteers who share their time and talent to help carry out our mission of providing quality and compassionate care. Our volunteers offer support from companionship and respite time to running errands and office work and so much more. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about assisting in Hospice Alliance's mission. Visit hospicealliance.org.
Are your auto and home insurance rates too high? Then call the folks at Bain's AAA Insurance Agency to see if they can help save you money. Licensed in both Wisconsin and Illinois, they have been in business since 2014, serving the Racine, Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, and surrounding areas. Bain's AAA has sold thousands of customers AAA road service, auto, homeowners, condo, renters, life, and umbrella insurance, plus personalized service to fit your family's ever-evolving needs with competitive rates. Call Annette today at 262-672-4702.
Coverage is subject to all policy terms, conditions, exclusions, and limitations. Discounts and savings opportunities subject to eligibility requirements, subject to underwriting requirements. AAA Insurance is a collection of AAA-branded insurance products, services, and programs made available to qualified members. Personal Lines Insurance is underwritten by Auto Club Group Insurance Company, Auto Club Insurance Association, and AAA Life Insurance Company.
Easy Mobility Solutions helps you reclaim your freedom and live life on your terms. Travel with ease in a Golden or Pride Power Scooter or Power Chair, designed for easy transport wherever you go. Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted power mobility provider with Care Credit Options also offers Power Lift recliners with heat and massage features, keeping you comfortable and independent at home. Stop by the Easy Mobility Solutions showroom across the street from the old Kmart on Douglas Avenue in Racine.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list? I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Everyone looks forward to the weekend, and at WRJN, we're no different. Saturday morning features Rick Johnson with his Capsule Countdown. 10 songs with a common theme, counted down in rapid-fire fashion at 8:30 and 9:30. Terry Hovel with Rock and Roll Never Forgets from 10 to 2. And Sunday morning, Lou Regani features the music of the stars from 7 till noon. It's the perfect weekend soundtrack. WRJN.
It's 720 WRJN Local News Timeless Hits, and with me is our alder for the 5th District in the city of Racine, and the County Board Supervisor for the 4th District, Melissa Caprillion. You ever get mixed up with all this stuff?
I don't get mixed up because I have to know it, but I don't put it on anybody
else. Do you ever get to the County Board and you bring up something for the city of Racine, they say, Melissa, wake up, you're in the wrong building.
That does not happen, but I will tell you, my knowledge that I bring from each board or council has benefited my constituents greatly. So I just have a bigger expanse of knowledge of what's going on.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you're in a race and you pass the person in second place, what place are you in?
I'm in second place, but Don, you will never see me in a race. I'm going to tell you that.
You'd be surprised how many people say first place.
Yeah, but my mind is the thing that races, not my legs.
Okay, I just asked the question. I just wanted to.
I pass.
Now I know you're intelligent. I don't have a problem with the rest of the interview. Okay, so you had a board meeting. You had a board meeting or a city meeting last night?
It was a city council meeting.
City council meeting. What was brought up? Anything big?
Yeah.
What should we know?
Oh, goodness. Well, Don, lots of things. So please tune in every other Tuesday. Tune in to the council meetings. There's a lot of moving parts happening right now. You still have the council. When, if you recall, we had a time where we had a boycott. And
oh, yeah.
I know we hate using that term. And, maybe we should call it something else. But we missed one meeting. And the one meeting was really to stand for let's bring a balance back into the council by letting the council members who are the legislators have control of the agenda and certain processes. And so that was successful in the ordinance passing, but we still have some snags. We realized yesterday all of our communications that we bring that are relevant to our constituents, the council members bring forward, they're supposed to be put on the agenda to be read. So there's a transparency process. We realized yesterday that wasn't happening for some of them, so we have to go back and make some more ordinance changes. So little fun with kind of the behind the scenes, and it's kind of the constituents, it's great if they follow these things, but the legislators, it's up to us to really do that work and to have confidence, to bring confidence in our local governments. But there was 4 grants that the city was applying for the Lincoln King Center, which totaled a little over $1 million out of a $15 million. They're trying to fill a gap of $15 million to try to bring that project
forward.
And
who do you apply to?
They had applied to 4 different. One was the Racine Community Foundation was one of them. I think one was Home Depot.
Home Depot?
Yeah, Do they
give out money for that stuff?
Well, they're going to find out. They're going to apply for it. And there was a couple other that were right along the same lines, maybe like a Walmart or something. I can't remember.
They give out money for grants for this stuff? I never knew that.
Well, I think they're going after it. They're hoping. So here as city residents, let's hope they do. So if the Lincoln King project moves forward, we do need a lot of grant funding and a lot of people to give during this time. It's a $68 million project.
Whoa.
It is. And I'll be honest on, I did not vote for it for many reasons. The idea of bringing a new community center with all these beautiful elements of having a community health center in it is a wonderful. I think that's fantastic. I can see the benefit for our community. We're just not in a financial position to be able to afford $68 million. All of our city resources get funneled into that one project, while the rest of projects and needs have to be neglected during that time. And we felt it during...
What do we need? What do we need that we don't have?
We need more service workers to work for our core. We need employees. If you noticed the last snowfall, I don't know if you felt the pulse of the community's outroar because their streets didn't get shoveled.
You mean Victory Avenue right in front of the building?
Oh, there you go, Don. So there, everybody has a story about the last snowfall. We had 17 employees that were out at the time, 15 on workman's comp, and people would just call in, and they're all new employees. We have complete turnaround in our departments. A lot of our people with a longevity have left. And so we need to bring employees in. We need to be a place where people want to work. And so we can provide our core services. People's taxes, they feel it, are going up. Their service fees are going up. And they're not feeling that their basic core services that they believe their tax pay, their money pays for. So our focus needs to build that, because that's what I get calls for. I get calls if my garbage isn't picked up, if my streets aren't shoveled, if they have potholes and speeding and racing. Those are the main calls that I receive. So
well,
we
go live on my street. You'll hear the engines all night long.
Main Street is definitely...
It's the Great Lakes Dragway, except it's on Main Street.
As a child who did not drive at the time, I lived on Main Street. And I loved watching all the commotion that happens on
Main
Street.
Yeah, but you're not a person who's got to get up at 4:30 in the morning and hears this stuff going on at midnight.
That's why I prefaced, as a child who doesn't have to drive. But that was the time when, if you recall, people could sleep overnight on the parade route on Main Street. And I used to love watching out my window at night, all the partying going on before the 4th of July parade. The whole city was out on the street. They were drunk and whatever. But as a kid, it was...
It was a great time. People were sleeping in the gutter, and they were drunk. Oh, what a wonderful time!
You don't
having.
See it every day, so it was.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true.
Hold on, we're talking to Melissa Caprillion. She's our alder for the 5th district in the city of Racine, and the county board supervisor for District 4. More with Melissa coming up in a moment, but first we got this guy.
Now, the rest of the story. Much has been written and recalled about the violent affair, the fracas in the middle of the Mississippi River, most often referred to as the Vidalia Sandbar Duel. Now, some accounts list 6 dead and another 15 seriously injured. It wasn't quite that bad, but it did come close. It happened on September 1827, and originally these two men were going to fight a duel in Natchez, Mississippi. But then they started fretting about innocent bystanders, and they began worrying about police. They agreed on Vidalia as the site for the fight, a good-sized tree-grown island in the river on the Louisiana side. Including their assistants, called seconds, about a dozen men would be present. Well, Jim and Sheriff Wright of Rapides Parish had been political adversaries for some time. And Jim was the first to be wounded. But then, bracing himself against a log, he fired a shot at Sheriff Wright, and it was a direct hit. Wright could hardly believe it. "Damn you," he screamed at Jim. "You have killed me." But the sheriff was far from finished. He took a cane. It was an ordinary walking stick, apparently. But its shaft was hollow, and it concealed a sword. And Sheriff Wright drew that weapon with a flourish and lunged at Jim, and missed. A second thrust, this one found Jim's chest, but the tip struck a rib and broke off. With one hand, Jim reached out for the sheriff and grabbed him by his tie, and with the other hand, now hear this, with the other hand, Jim drew his hunting knife, from its scabbard. Where the sword had been fragile and broke, the hunting knife did not break. He pulled Wright's face close to his, and he whispered, "Now you die." And he plunged that knife into the sheriff's heart. and the Vidalia Sandbar duel was over. But this is the rest of the story. The duel itself was somebody else's fight. It was supposed to have been between two other fellas. But those two fired at each other and missed and made up. In fact, the duelists and their entourage were just sitting down to a picnic on the island when an entirely unrelated brawl broke out among the seconds. And then two men were killed and three more badly wounded, utterly unnecessarily. Now, what came of the so-called Vidalia Sandbar duel was this. Jim survived. He had lost his taste for Louisiana politics, however, and left the United States and settled in territorial Texas, where one day he would die at a now famous place called the Alamo. And the Vidalia Sandbar duel did something else. It made Jim and his deadly hunting knife notorious. You see, prior to September 1827, Jim was just another frontier hothead, and there were lots of those in those days. But after that free-for-all in the middle of the Mississippi River, he and his custom-designed, lightning, quick, rugged hunting knife would become part and parcel of the living legend of Jim Bowie, and his blade would be entered in dictionaries forever after as the Bowie knife. And now you know the rest of the story.
I remember the Jim Bowie TV show. Yeah. Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. Got another one coming up, and that's with Dan Marcus at 12:05 this afternoon. Learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It's 7:31 exactly. Good morning. Let's check news, see what's going on. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Burlington police have identified the 21-year-old Menards employee who died after being pinned between cars Sunday night. The family of Cody A. Dorn described him as a dedicated and kind-hearted individual. An investigation continues into what happened. A 20-year-old co-worker involved is assisting police. Charges aren't expected at this point. Gas is the reason for a gathering in Racine County today. We Energies wants to build a natural gas plant in Paris in Kenosha County. Before they build, the Public Service Commission is hosting public hearings at the Union Grove Village Hall to discuss the proposal. The plan calls for a 128-megawatt methane gas-fired power plant. The hearings scheduled at 2 and 6 today will allow people to voice their opinions on the $300 million project. Environmental groups have criticized the proposal for its potential environmental impacts. Keep checking RacineCountyEye.com for an update on a safety story. They're working on a piece about police in Racine who've been without a contract for 5 years. The president of the state's police union spoke to the Racine Common Council last night. That's the latest through the eye. Some Racine feedback would be welcomed. A new survey has been launched by the Racine Area Manufacturers and Commerce and Leadership Racine. The aim is to measure the economic and cultural impact of arts in Racine County. The goal is to bolster creative opportunities in the area. People can find a link to the 5-minute survey on the Racine County social media page. It'll be open through mid-April. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Yes, tariffs and immigration, definitely items that farms need to keep an eye on. But we also have to remember a farm bill. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Cassandra Kubel, who's the vice president of the Tory Advisory Group, says one of the biggest dangers that farmers are facing right now is assuming things won't change. She says, if you assume things won't change, that means you're not advocating for a farm bill, and that's dangerous.
I think it is. If you're not engaging, then it continues to go lower and lower on the poll of things that matter for them to be focusing on. And their attention's going to be taken up a lot on funding the government this first quarter. And we now have a tax package that's been announced. So it's not been officially introduced. It's just been shared out there in the greater sphere. It's bipartisan, but there's a lot to work on there. So there's a lot of other pieces of legislation that are going to be taking up a lot of energy. So to make sure that the farm bill is still important, regardless if it's going to be voted on this year or another year, it's so important to get out there and continue to talk about what those priorities are for you and your farm.
Cassandra Kubel, she is the vice president of the Tory Advisory Group. She says, obviously, paying attention to tariffs and immigration reform is definitely something farms have to do, but making sure your voice is still heard on the need for a new farm bill, critically important. Markets and overnight electronic trade starting a Wednesday morning. Not looking too bad. Numbers are next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to 6 locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal. On Tuesday, the barrel cheese gained a penny and a half to 180 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was up 3 3/4 at 190. The Class 3 melt that goes into cheese for March is up 6 right now, 19.99 a hundredweight. December new crop corn a penny stronger at 4.69. November new crop beans unchanged at 10.73. July wheat up a nickel right now at 6.04. Don't forget, Thursday and Friday we'll see you in Wisconsin Dells for the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. I'm Pam Yonke.
It is going to be cloudy today with some light snow and freezing drizzle this afternoon into this evening. Could be a slippery commute this afternoon through this evening. Our high today right around 31. Tonight, freezing drizzle 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, windy, and warmer with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
This city has so many beautiful women. I don't know, but I fall in love like every 10 minutes. I'm sitting on the subway. I'm like, there's my wife. Where's she? Oh, she's getting off. All right. All right, there's the woman. All right, that's a man. This is confusing. Life is a little easier for attractive people. Can we admit that? Think about it. If a stranger smiles at you and they're attractive, you think, oh, they're nice. But if the stranger's ugly, you're like, what do they want? Huh? Get away from me, weirdo. Yeah. Some couples here. Isn't it strange when you're single, all you see are couples? And then when you're part of a couple, all you see are hookers? That's wrong. That's wrong.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
And a pleasant good morning at 7:37 at WRJN. And I've got Melissa Caprillion here. She is the alder for the 5th District in the city of Racine. She is the county board supervisor for District Number 4. Before the break, we were talking about something. I forgot what it was because we were talking about so many stories during the break there.
Food trucks.
Oh, the food trucks. Okay. Now, I see them everywhere now. You didn't used to see them, but now you see them everywhere. Even AmFam Field, American Family Field in Milwaukee, announced 2 days ago they're taking out a whole section and they're going to build a food truck section, which to me kind of makes sense, but it doesn't because then you won't be buying the food from the stadium, but they probably get their fingers in the till of these food trucks. So my guess is they'll be making money. Food trucks are everywhere. I see them at the Menards parking lot. I see them when I turn on from Highway 20. They're at a little tire store there going into 31. They're everywhere.
But how convenient, Don.
I know. And they're good food. I've been to food trucks before.
You tell me what the city plans. What are their plans for food trucks?
Yeah, so no, there was a communication that got brought forward. This isn't something new, but what was new about it is the communication came to the Public Safety and Licensing Committee, and the police chief was really supporting having the food trucks have a end time, because there was a high number of calls of service and activity that required the force to, it was exhausting the force during the late hours or the early morning hours. And so it was a problem. So it was trying to find a solution. In Milwaukee, they had, I don't think they no longer do, or they're looking to get away rid of it, is where food trucks can only operate within certain hours of business. And if they want to operate beyond that hours of business, so whether it's up to 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., they have to get a certain permit, pay a certain permit to be able to operate. I'm just saying a time frame from 11 to, you know, 2 in the morning or something.
You really want to be in a food truck at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, some.
Sounds dangerous.
We do have a couple food trucks who, they do operate around that time.
That sounds, and, yeah, it sounds pretty dangerous.
Well, for them, if you think about it, what other options do you have?
Well, first of all, it's an all-cash business.
True.
So it's, I think it's dangerous to be out there.
Yeah. Right. Cash. They do have electronic means as well. But you're right. The meaning there's cash on hand. And so from a public safety lens, they were looking to solve a problem, and they brought it before the Public Safety and Licensing Committee. And there's even a couple other things that we probably should think about when considering regulating or putting some type of structures in place. Because like you said, there's food trucks are increasing. We are seeing a lot of them. To me, I love it. We're investing in we're seeing these entrepreneurs, small businesses, and I think it offers a diverse flavor for those who live in Racine and those visiting Racine. So I'm a big supporter of them.
I sense a however coming up.
Yeah, no. Okay. The only thing that I have received calls on is they'll park in front of another food establishment or very close by. And so for the other food establishment, one of the complaints that they're using our parking lot, and also now they're taking away business when we provide food as well. So there really should be some regulation. You have to park so many feet away from an already established food supplier. So that one I am all support of. You know, it's now I just have to balance a little bit, because a lot of people forget. And I do see public comments. If I am ever scrolling through social media, you have certain individuals, whether they work for the city and they're in certain positions, they have that lens of their position. But as a elected official, as an alder, you really have to have a wide, wide, wide lens, because we're employers. The city is one of very big employers here in Racine. And not only are we that, but we have to be stewards and protectors of the taxpayer. And there's just many components of it. So here's an issue where public safety is a concern. The police department has come and said, listen, we are exhausting our services around some of these food trucks. And also it's a sanitary thing. There's lots of garbage that's being left behind from maybe not so much the food trucks. Maybe it is the food trucks or the patrons. So it's causing a concern.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah. So now we have to look at it from that angle. And then we have to look at it from the angles like, wait, I get out of work. I work third shift or I work second shift late. And I don't want to go to Taco Bell. So I want another option. And so you have to look at it from there by the food diversity being offered and trying to find this really good balance. So this conversation about the food trucks came before public safety and licensing back in 2024, and we're still hashing it out, which I love. I requested some time, a deferment, to allow the food trucks to have a voice in this conversation, and I think we're gathering that now. I heard some food trucks met with the police department yesterday, and so it'll come back before public safety and licensing possibly this coming Wednesday. So tune in if those who are interested or want to contribute a voice, come to the public safety and licensing committee.
I thought the restaurants own the food trucks. Like, I see the Pico's food truck. around.
Yeah, there is some that offer a food truck that have that mobile piece, but there are some that the mobile food truck is their business.
Is anybody watching how clean these trucks are on the inside?
That is an oversight by the public health department. So they do have to be licensed. They pay fees. So
do they get inspected?
Yeah, they have to get inspected, and I think their fees are within $1,000 or so. Whoa.
You know, and you mentioned sarcastically, I think, about the food in New York. Anybody who lives there knows they have soubrette hot dogs. I don't know if they sell soubrette in the stores anymore, but they have soubrette hot dog stands. And you see the little soubrette umbrellas, and they're on street corners all over the place. And you can be on any street corner. And if it's some, I'll tell you a story in just a second. After the break, you got to hear this story. Okay. Anyway, the hot dog, you can, I don't know how to describe this to people who aren't familiar with it. When you get the hot dog from the soubrette guy, he has boiling water in there that's probably been sitting there for weeks. But anyway, he's got hot water in, I know. And they put the soubrette hot dogs and they boil them and everything. And you can get them in different sizes. Now, unless you know this, it does, you know, you don't know it. You can get them 8 to the pound, 12 to the pound, 15 to the pound. If the more you get to the pound, the skinnier the hot dog's going to be. So you can ask the guy, 8 to the pound? And he'll say, yeah. And then you know you're getting a fat hot dog. You say 12 to the pound? You know you're getting a skinnier hot dog. So you got to know this stuff.
Dan, the amount of information you know on
and
the
weight and
the size.
And they sell chestnuts. Yeah, and they put everything on it you want. They're very fast. And it's good. I grew up on going to soubrette hot dog stands. You know, you're hungry, you grab a hot dog, and, you know, that's what you do. I got to tell you the story my father told me. I'll tell you right now before the break. My father, this is before cell phones and all that kind of stuff, has a two-way radio in his car. This is in New York. Has a two-way radio. It's a business band radio. It's not CB. This is a business band. And a few businesses are on his band. And one of them was a guy who handled the soubrette hot dog stands. And it sounded like the guy was a little mobbish when he was talking. And you hear him, he's wheezing and everything. And he gets a call, and somebody's on his corner. And there's a hot dog stand there on the corner. And I told him to move. He's not going to move. Here's what you do. You grab his stand. You put it on the truck. And you take him to the Bronx. And you drop him off there. He said, but I don't want to... You just do that. And my father's listening to this whole thing like a mob over a hot dog vendor thing. But the guy was wheezing the whole time. You just take him and you drag him and you drop him off in the Bronx. And then you got your corner.
We get theater with you, Don. The imagery that has come to my mind, I feel.
My father heard this whole conversation going on while he's driving. And because there are certain corners that are moneymakers where you just nonstop selling hot dogs. It just doesn't stop. And now they're not that expensive back then, but they are now. And they just keep the money flowing. But I don't know if it's that kind of way it is today. But there's no rhyme or reason. You can pick any corner you want. But if you pick a corner where somebody's got connections, you got to move. Or if you don't move,
you bring up some
selling hot dogs in the East River.
You know. Oh, my goodness. You know, just to tell the listeners, this was really starting on hygiene, but look how far it moved away from that.
Yeah, I never questioned it, but I got to question that boiling water, that hot water that was in there, how long it was. Plus, they keep shoveling hundreds of hot dogs in there. Oh. Nobody's washing their hands.
Well, Don, they're hot dogs. You know, me being a vegan,
nobody
what goes into a hot dog.
They're handling filthy money, touching your bun.
The water is probably the least to be worried about.
Melissa Caprillion is here. We got more stories. We're going to hear what's going on the county board. We'll find out. She's an alder for the 5th District in Racine. She's also doing double duty as in the county board as District 4. So more coming up right here at WRJN at 7:48 on, Wednesday, February 5th.
Lee's Deli is your go-to for fresh signature subs and chef salads in Racine. Find them at Twins Food Mart on 16th and Packard, Elite Mini Market on Washington Avenue, and Taylor Mart on 1813 Taylor Avenue. Hosting a party? Convenient pickup and catering from our Washington Avenue shop make game day party trays a hit, even with a few hours' notice. Kickstart your healthy new year with your favorite sub in a gluten-free wrap or in a bowl to suit any dietary need. Lee's Deli, proudly serving Racine in 2025, one meal at a time.
This Valentine's Day, ignite the passion with a little help from In the Garden of Eden. From elegant lingerie to playful novelties, massage oils, lotions, and candles, they have what you need to keep those home fires burning. With their personalized service, you're sure to find the perfect way to make your partner feel truly special. Rekindle your romance and turn up the heat this Valentine's Day with In the Garden of Eden, 57th Street in downtown Kenosha, just west of 7th Avenue.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max. Face the three. Takes the three. Left side. Yes, sir.
Please.
It is Faze. Flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up. Got it. With the right hand. It counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk. Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hi, it's Jenny from Big Deals, and I'm trying to keep you out of the chocolate zone. What am I talking about? This is the time when you start to panic about Valentine's Day, and you reach for the box of chocolates. Guys, gals, there's still time. Purchase a gift certificate or two at Big Deals today, and you'll save an additional 15% on your purchase. No code needed. Shop local, buy local with Big Deals.
Go to WRJN.com and click on the Big Deals banner for amazing savings right now.
Okay, we're talking to Melissa Caprillion here. She's on the county board and also an alder for the city of Racine. You don't want numbers, we'll just say it. I don't know who my county board supervisor is. How do I not know this? I gotta look it up.
You go to the polls.
I know.
Right? All the county board supervisors are up at the same time. So
yeah, but some of them run unopposed, so it doesn't matter.
The majority run unopposed.
Yeah, who wants that job? Do you really want that? I don't want that job. And by the way,
As
long as I got you in here. Yeah, I know you're not my you're not my alder. But last time I was telling you about the manhole covers.
Yes.
And we hit one the other day. I thought I broke an axle with the car. And you gave me this story that, well, that's because they need the water to run down. They don't need the water to run down 3 or 4 inches.
Well, we have a lot of rainfall.
I know, but
now,
if you kept it level with the street and the street was just pitched, it would go in there.
That was my processing of reasoning why I believe they're like that. There might be some other reason behind it. We got to ask the engineers.
Every time I hit a manhole cover, it's Melissa.
Well, Don, go around the darn thing or it in between your
wheels. I got to go over the double yellow line to get around it. So I can't. Well, I hit a parked car on the side. I can't. I got to go.
Yeah.
I hit it. But I go, Melissa.
Time to slow down, Don.
Okay, so what's going on in the county board?
So the county board, today is a big day for the county with this ribbon cutting ceremony at the Jonathan Delagrave Youth Development Care Center, which, Don, if you haven't gone, you really should go. There will be a day where...
Now, where is it?
It's on 3 Mile Road, okay. Right on the side of the John Badden Airport.
Oh, yeah.
For those that are listening, that is going to be west of Douglas Avenue. And it's 70,000 square feet care center. And it's in 30 acres, which is something you don't think of when you think of our past youth center. So the other youth center, it just seems so inhumane. But you're working with the mines. You know, I don't know when that was built, the one that we currently are using. But it is really the workers that bring the warmth into the current space. And because you go in there, it's like, this is no place for anyone, not even our youth. It's very cold, very cement, the metal bars, The walls, the heavy cemented walls, no windows. But now it is very spacious. Every room has a window in it, and it's really showing them this natural setting. It's a place of healing, not a place of surviving. And I'm going to tell you, there's something, Don, that maybe you don't know about me, but...
Here it comes.
No, let's just pull a little bit into my past. And, you know, I was somebody who had to learn and survive on the streets. And having a bout of homelessness while I was a minor, and I understand the impact of healing spaces and the sense of community. When you are in a survival mode, you don't necessarily feel that. You're surviving because you feel alone, and maybe the environment isn't that healing. But I will tell you, when you go through this new center, this youth center, there is something so... calling of saying, this is a transitional space. This is a space that we invest in for you move on and to be able to grow. It's still, you know, that you're in a center. There's a lot of secure doors, but there was a lot of mindfulness. I wish I knew the people's names that were part of it. I could name a couple, but I'd feel like I'd be doing some injustice by not naming them all. I just went on a tour of it 2 weeks ago, and we have a local artist, Scott Terry, who did a beautiful mural, which I won't even talk about because I think with the ribbon cutting ceremony, there'll be some unveil. So I don't want to give anybody some early sights, but it's beautiful. It really helps welcome the space as it is an entering thing. But I will tell you that when you walk into there, you know that the community has invested into those youth to push them into their potential of doing something for the community. Unlike what we have now, you're behind cold bars, right? And the only warmth you feel is from the employees.
I'm glad you're naming it after Jonathan Delagrave. That's nice.
Isn't that fitting?
Yeah.
Oh, that is fitting because he's truly was somebody invested in the community, invested into the youth, invested into mental health. And it is very fitting. It truly is fitting. It's sad that he can't be part of this today, but
Maybe he is.
For sure. All the people who are coming, we all are carrying a bits of him and how we remember him. So.
Well, I'm very fortunate. I grew up in the Leave It to Beaver household. It was a perfect household. I had everything I needed. I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes with money, but when you're a kid, you don't care.
True.
I want this, give me money. I want this, give me money. My mother made sure everything was okay. She signed my brother and I up for the Police Boys Club, which was a thing to keep you out of trouble. I was never in trouble, but this made sure I wasn't going to be in any trouble. The Police Boys Club met every week, and we did different things. And we bowled. We did a whole bunch of things. It was really a great thing. I don't know if they have the PBC anymore, but we all had shirts with Police Boys Club on it.
Aww.
And I was never in any trouble. I mean,
yeah, you don't
I was,
come across as a troublemaker.
No, I'm not a trauma sweetheart. I mean, people love me. brother, neither one of them, never smoked a cigarette, never did any recreational drugs, never drank beer, those kids were doing it while I was hanging around them. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I think you're smarter than that. And you had a good, solid foundation. Your parents did really good. And you had a lot of other experiences, so.
Yeah, it was very good. I got something for you before you leave here.
Okay.
It's not bad.
I hope not.
Okay, no, it's not. I wouldn't do anything bad. Okay. I don't know how brutally honest you are with your friends.
I'm an honest person.
Okay, let's just see how honest you are.
Okay, let's see.
Someone polled over 1,000 Americans to see how honest we are about stuff a friend might not want to hear. Now, would you tell your friends the following? They're in a toxic relationship.
Absolutely.
You would. They're mean.
If we're good enough friends, they will know they're mean.
No. You have to tell them they're mean.
I think they, yes.
So you would. Okay. They drink too much.
Maybe not.
They have BO.
No.
So you're not that brutally honest.
I guess not.
They tell offensive jokes.
Yeah, probably.
They're frequently interrupting people.
It depends the level of friendship, yes.
Their partner is cheating on them.
Ooh, yes.
Stop it.
Yeah, it depends the level of friendship, yeah, for sure.
So you would tell them?
Probably, because I would want somebody to tell me.
Okay. They have bad breath.
Again, the level of friendship. A close friend, absolutely.
This is a yes or no quiz. This isn't the explanation. This is yes or no.
You realize I have a gamut of a spectrum of friendship.
Well, how many stinky friends do you have?
Well, your close significant other, they will know that their breath stinks. All right, because you will tell them.
People don't know them. All right. They keep telling the same stories over and over. That's me, by the way. And my wife has no problem telling me that.
Off and on, I will.
Okay. They got a bad haircut.
No.
They talk too much.
It depends.
I'm not hearing a lot.
Have I ever told you?
No. I'm not hearing a lot. Well, people better hope I talk too much here. We're out of business.
Fair.
They need to lose weight.
Ooh, no.
So you're not brutally honest.
But
you started this whole thing off saying, yes, you're brutally honest.
But by whose definition do you have to lose weight?
I just read
whose definition do you have a bad haircut, right?
Well, so, you know a bad haircut when you see it. You know a fatso when you see it.
It could be a style.
Come on. You're a nicer person. You're not that brutally honest. You care about people's feelings.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings.
But I also think certain things just don't really matter. Does it matter that your hair is looking?
I just asked, would you tell anybody this? And you're a nice person, and you wouldn't do it.
You know what? I would gossip during break with you.
Did you see that stinky mouth, B.O., bad haircut person over there?
Does that count for anything?
And by the way, he doesn't shut up.
That's true. Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I like having you. You're a fun person. You're a good talker, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Melissa Caprillion, she's the alder for the 5th District and County Board Supervisor for the 4th District. She is also the something at the 3rd District and 2nd and 1st. She's a very busy person. Thank you, Melissa, for coming in. I do appreciate it. 8 o'clock on the noggin. Let's do news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Trump administration is defending President Trump's idea for the U.S. to take control of Gaza and turn part of it into a luxury resort area. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz tells CBS Mornings.
I think one of the key points the President Trump made last night was, tell me what real better alternatives they've ever been offered.
Mr. Trump suggesting Palestinians be relocated to other countries. A key U.S. ally, Saudi Arabia, has come out against it, reiterating it